Tonight I want us to look at Eternity 101, the final exam. I've been dealing with the second coming of Christ, and I thought this would be a good one way here for us to teach a little bit on this also. Sooner or later, we'll all have to face God. Anybody got any different belief than that? Sooner or later, we'll all have to face God. It's the final exam, regardless of our condition. Hebrews 9, 27, 28. Boy, you got feeling guilty, didn't you, son? And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Check out the last sentence. Let me read it again. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Those of us who know that he's coming, he is coming, and we will see him face to face for salvation. Now, you're going to see what happens to the others in a moment. But you need to know, those of us who eagerly await him on the second appearance, apart from sin, separated from sin, he's coming for us for our ultimate salvation. Remember, salvation. We're in the salvation process. We're being saved from something every day of our life. God is in the salvation business. And when the salvation that began in us will continue in us until the time that he takes us with him, which is the ultimate salvation of us being with Christ. Okay? But remember, he only said it to those who eagerly wait for him, that he's coming for the salvation part. Now, for the non-Christian, there's a second death. Now, as long as you and I have the second birth, we'll never see the second death. Second birth, you'll never see the second death. Revelation 20, 14, 15. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Okay. The book of life is that book that where we will see. Now remember, when you're looking in Revelation and you're listening to John the Revelator, as he is seeing this, he says, and the books were opened. Multiple books. And then the book of life was opened. Okay, now, what we know is this. Every human being at birth, every human being that's in the mind of God, their name is written in the book of life, the book of the living. We got it? Okay, now, when an individual accepts Christ as Lord and Savior, his name is sealed in that book of life. Those who reject Christ, their name is stricken out of the book of life. So when we as Christians enter the realm of God, if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. A lot of folk think that it's, you know, when you accept Christ, then your name is put in. When you accept Christ, your name is sealed in the book of life. But that's why people would get upset and say, well, no, wait a minute. They say, I can lose my salvation. My name will be stricken from the book of life. Christian's name can never be stricken from the book of life. Ever. Okay. Whose name is found for the Christian, this exam concerns service. A totally different type of judgment. It's called a judgment seat of Christ. Now, I've taught specifically on the judgment seat of Christ, but let's go through it. 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Who's he talking to? The church. He's at Corinth. He's talking to the church. What's he telling the Christians? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. He's talking to the church. Now let him explain it. Let's go to Revelation 2:11. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. In Revelation, you will find, I don't have that scripture here, but I know the scripture. And we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Okay, who is an overcomer? Many people will say, well, wait a minute, that means that I lived a good life and all of this, and I've overcome. No, you don't. For one thing, your righteousness is as filthy rags in the presence of God. So, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. And again, in Revelation, you will see, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. So when we accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, we through Christ's blood, are the overcomers, right? Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life. Whoever accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life are heaven bound. I know we're living in a generation that really wants to say, no, it's according to whether or not you hold on to your salvation. In order for that to be possible, that would mean that you had to work to get the salvation to begin with. You ain't holding on to anything that you do yourself. Everything's going to be left here. Even my boots and my truck. Yeah, ain't going to get taken. Thank you, John. Thank you. First of all, God is going to inspect our life building. I started to say our life automobile, but our life building. Now, every day, you're literally building a life. Every day and every deed is another brick that you put into your life building. You got it? This is who we are. We're building as to how we're going to represent God, or how we're going to represent ourselves, how we're going to represent Satan. You're building one way or the other. You're building just by existing. 1 Corinthians 3:10. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. Okay, the foundation Paul is speaking of is Jesus Christ. He said, I have laid a foundation as an expert builder. Meaning he realized that the foundation, if it's not solid, is trying to teach at Corinth, if the foundation is not solid, you're going to have a sinkhole. Your house is going to be swallowed up. It will not stand. So he says to them that I've given this to you. I laid the foundation. And as Paul, as he is talking, he's talking about as an expert builder. Again, you got to be careful as you're reading the Apostle Paul. I love the way he writes. I love to read. How he sees himself. But if you don't watch it, you'll think that, well, he's sort of bragging. And yes, he sort of is, but he's got something to brag about. It's the only way I can say it. God had blessed him. That's why God chose him. God had blessed him with great wisdom of the Hebrew law and the great wisdom of the Jewish nation. And so God was using him here, and he says, I know the foundations of life and the foundations of the church, and I want you to know, as an individual who knows, an expert builder, and someone else is building on it, but each one should be careful how he builds. Okay. You got to be careful as a Christian. And please watch ourselves on this, folks. Sometimes we have a tendency to look at some group that are meeting over or around anywhere else and say, well, I don't know that they're Christians or not. Don't get into that foolishness. When they accept Christ as Lord and Savior, but each individual will build differently. Same foundation. Just because they're looking different, acting different, doing different type of studies than others, doesn't make them not Christian, nor does it make us less Christian. We have the same foundation, but he said, be careful, because if you don't watch it, you can build the wrong type of building on that foundation. Everyone has the opportunities to start their life building on the solid foundation. Here it is. We begin to build on a solid foundation. And then all of a sudden, as Satan tries to push in our generation, well, let me give you a little new theology here. I don't need any new theology. Good gracious, I can't figure out the theology that I'm studying now. That's been in existence. Well, new theology, there may be another way to heaven. So let's sort of make room on this foundation to add another little support foundation. There's no such thing as another support foundation in God's house, because Jesus Christ is the only foundation. And Jesus Christ is the solid foundation. You don't have to add anything to the foundation of Christ. That's why you don't have to try to make Christ look good. God didn't call me to make Jesus look good. Jesus looks tremendous, and he don't need me in the process of doing it. But what do? And you've got people, sometimes they're well-meaning and sometimes they're not, because they get messed up on the foundation, that they get in the process and say, oh, yes, the Lord spoke to me, and God really touched me as I saw his Spirit coming down unto my face. And God was blessing me for what I was doing. And I think, what had that individual just done?
He didn't look at the face of God.
Yeah, that individual put self. God's blessing me. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but God's blessing me. God said, just be careful of how you're building and what you're building on his foundation. Again, let's get back to all the different, good gracious, how many cults and different religions that are out there. And people would say, and this really gets me from these great minds of our day, of theologians that say, yes, every religion has had a great flood. Every religion has had a great relationship with a Savior. And so Christianity sort of pulled from the Greek gods, and all that lights my fuse. Folks, the religions pulled from Christ, God, the true religion, to build the cult. Christianity was not built from the cult. All of the others, well, yeah, but now, wait a minute, Christianity wasn't even going on then. Or it hadn't started yet. I said, how's the Garden of Eden for you? That's about the beginning of all the beginnings, right? Well, yeah, but others could have started prior to that. And I don't do very good at attempting to talk with people who are insisting on that. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. Okay, Since you've already got a perfect foundation, you can build an outstanding life if you use the right materials. Now, I'm going to throw away another misunderstanding that you may have on 1 Corinthians 3:12, 13. Let me read it. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will, anytime you see the day means the second coming. That's the day of Christ's coming. Anytime you see the day in the New Testament, that means that that's the end of the age, that's that day. Okay. The day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire, or far, will test the quality of each man's work. Okay. Let me go back up. You remember, you will hear people talk about, well, I'm going to, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw. Now, many people will separate that. Said, I'm not building my house on that solid foundation using straw or wood because the scripture says I'm not to do that. No, it doesn't. Let me read it again to you. It doesn't say that. It says, if any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, or wood, or hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It doesn't matter the material. It matters with what heart you build building on, life building on. It is, if I build my life building and God has called me to be, that I need to build it out of wood, if it's blessed from God, the straw house will stand up as strong as the brick house. You got it? Okay, and nowhere in here do you see that those built of straw, and I think there's a couple of songs out there that say that they will crumble and all this, but it's not scriptural. Not all songs that you hear about God are scriptural. Got it? Okay, Revelation 22, verse 12. Behold, I am coming soon. This is Jesus speaking. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. Got it? Anything you can't do to the glory of God, you shouldn't do. Let me say it again for those of you who are listening. Anything you can't do to the glory of God, you shouldn't do. If what you're trying to, you know, you're in this disarray of saying, well, I don't know whether I need to do this or not. Well, look at it. All you have to do is say, okay, does it glorify God or not glorify God? If it doesn't glorify God, don't do it. If it glorifies God and you think, well, it's glorifying God and God's calling me to do it, but I don't know that my family or anybody else is going to like it. Stick with God. He's the only one that'll have the power to bring your family around. All right? Number two, God is going to reward the righteous work of the Christian. Hebrews 11:6. Again, you got to remember, the judgment seat of Christ is a good thing, Christian. The judgment seat of Christ is an exciting part of our eternal existence. Because it is the judgment seat of Christ. When the Lord says that I get to go before the judgment, his judgment seat, that's fine. Because I realize that some of my building is going to burn up. But I also realize if I get to go to the judgment seat of Christ, this is not the judgment of the lost. This is the judgment of the saved. Not the judgment based on whether the saved are going to heaven. Has nothing to do with that. You accept Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to heaven. This is based on what works. Okay, why was he doing this? Because you're getting ready for the glory that you that God's going to bless us with, you know, with the crown and all of this, all of those little trinkets in the crown, you got that? What he's doing, what Jesus is doing, is cleaning it up for the Father. Because he will hand to God the Father perfection. It, you know, that thing could take off at any minute. Yep, yep. John, that's one of your things, son. You're in charge of it. The water heater goes right on up through the ceiling. That's okay. We'll name it John. Okay, so Christ is saying, I'm going to polish you. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is, the polishing part. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, listen, must believe what? That he exists. You got that? But and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. I don't have to just believe that he exists. I got to believe in the reward. Now, why then am I focusing on a reward? Because I get to lay it at the feet of God the Father. That's what Christians do. That's the big deal over the crown. The big deal over the crown has nothing to do with what we have done so that we will get glory in heaven. It has to do that everything that we have done that is good, God gave us the wisdom and the ability to do that which is good, and we're bringing it, putting it at the feet of Christ, because through him that we have this salvation, and Christ has polished us up to where we can come in the presence of his Father. Any questions on that? Revelation 14:13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they are blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work, for their good deeds follow them. Good deeds had nothing to do with saving them. The good deeds followed the salvation. Right? You can do good things and not be saved and go to hell. But you can never go to hell after you're saved and you've done bad things. That's part of grace. Man, does that go deep. Okay? 1 Corinthians 3:8. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. Catch that. You look at one person and you say, well, they haven't done what I've done for God. You know, they didn't do the ministry I've done. That's because they weren't called to your ministry. You know, if we'd all take care of our own ministries and our own business, think what a blessed world we'd be living in. Wouldn't that be great? But his own reward according to his own labor, each will, individual, right? So therefore, don't try to put yourself up or judge anyone else based on someone else, ever. The disciples were upset with Mary. Remember when she was pouring the expensive perfume on Jesus? How many times did that happen in Scripture? How many times did Jesus pour this expensive oil on him? At the beginning and at the end. At the beginning of his ministry and at the end of his ministry. See, you all get to go home and study that now, don't you? Yeah. Okay. Mark 14:8-9. Now this is what here's what they were doing. His disciples were so upset with her. For one thing, it's a woman. They was upset automatically because she walked in the room. Oh, this is a rough generation, folks. This is a bad time to be a woman. Except for Mary. Pretty good for her, wasn't it? Yeah, can't you imagine the hell she went through having a child, possibly a 13, anywhere between 13 and 15-year-old Mary, the mother of Jesus, was. And can you imagine being pregnant at that age, no husband? Of course, she could have went to a Baptist church and nobody would have said a word. But, okay. So they're fussing at her. Oh, and you're snotty with her. Actually, if you'll read Mark 14, you get on back into 5, 6, and 7. on the verses, you'll find that they are indignant to her. They are showing disrespect. And Jesus steps in. Every time you will see Jesus in the midst of them and them showing disrespect to a woman, you hear him nail them. And to the kids, it's good. I told you all that our translation has cleaned up a lot of the language, and that's good because the Bible would be classified as an X-rated. I mean, even the way it's written. That's the reason I don't like censorship, because first by a book that'd be censored would be the Bible. Okay. Jesus said she did what she could. Actually, he told them prior to that, shut up. Of course, we cleaned it up and then said, leave her alone, which is fine, but shut up will do it too. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. Aha! He nailed them, didn't he? Said, you all aren't going to look too good in this, boys, later on down the line. Oh, the one that you'll find of the Old Testament, whose name was to be remembered from generation to generation and never forgotten. And her occupation was a prostitute in the town. Anybody remember that situation and who it was? The spies went in. She, the prostitute, were hit them to keep them from being killed. And then God said what she had done would be remembered from then on because of her faith. Interesting that it wasn't charged with prostitution, but she was blessed with the saving of God's word. Be careful, folks, when you draw any kind of human judgment with someone. You make sure first that God hadn't blessed them, okay? Her name was Rahab. Rahab the harlot, yes. Rahab. Joshua and Caleb were the two that she hid out. And another part of that story was, she said, but when I've done this, all I ask of you is that you protect my family. Then Joshua said, you pull your family, all your members, into your area here. Hang out a red scarf or flag, whatever you had, and your family will not be touched. But it was God that said what Rahab. Whose genealogy is Rahab a part of?
Jesus.
Yes, it is. You got every kind of background in that. 1 Corinthians 3:14, if the work survives the fire, that builder will receive a reward. A reward of the works. Okay, number three, let me get through with this. There is great loss in the final exam. For the Christian, here was the loss. 1 Corinthians 3:15. But if the building or the work of life is burned up, the builder will suffer loss. The builder will be saved, but it will be as one who escaped from a fire. By the hair of his chinny chin chin, I think is the way that we'd put it today. Right? Yeah. So the builder will be saved. Do you see that? The builder will be saved. Who's doing the building? We are on our building of life, right? But the works will be burned, the bad ones. Okay, what makes a bad work? Any work that we do that is not done in love will be burned. You can do all the good work in the world that you want to do. You can do all of the giving and all of this other stuff. But I guarantee you, when you do that, if you do it for the wrong reason, it will not be glorified by God. Many people do good works just to get notice of doing good works. Here's what happens, though, for the non-Christian. Revelation 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, we'll have to knock that part out one day. Those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Woo! Oh, what kind of liar are we talking about here? What liar is this? There's one foundation. His name is Jesus. All those who propose any other way to heaven is a liar, and the truth is not in him. You all are thinking about like you lied and said you've baked the pie, but you really didn't. You bought it and all of this stuff. No, it has nothing. It has to do with lying. The greatest lie ever told is there's another way other than Christ. And the Lord said, do not recognize him. He is a liar and the truth is not in him. Yes.
So I understand it's the lie, not a lie.
That's correct. Yeah, that's correct. And you got to understand, there's two people who will tell you that in the Ten Commandments, which says, thou shalt not kill, it doesn't say that. The Ten Commandments does not say, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt do no murder. If it was, thou shalt not kill, every time you smack that gnat or kill a fly, you're killing something. No, it's thou shalt do no murder. It's not, or we would be found guilty for our war, of fighting in battle, killing someone. No,
that's that blasphemy when they reject Jesus.
Yes, that's correct. That's also blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's the one that can say the great lie is this: Jesus is not who he says he is. But you'd be surprised how much of that's coming up in church, folks. But you know this. All you got to do is listen. Listen to some of the teachings all are going on. We have to accept everyone. No, I accept every human being as a human being created by God. But I will not accept the gods of everyone. For the non-Christian, Revelation 21, verse 8, but the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderous, sexual immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Christians will never see it. Let me read you my little ditty. You ready for it? You have only one life. It will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. When you take the final exam, as we all are going to do, I hope and pray that you will hear Jesus say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. He does not say, nor will you find in Scripture, perfectly done, well done.